This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey.
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
Lamar Jackson. Dan's all hot in a biscuit about this one, to quote his favorite phrase. Said he requested a trade
you want
back
for me. It's a great phrase.
In early March. Okay, great. To me, it sounds just like all part of the negotiating process, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, the timing's interesting, obviously, as the coaches are talking at the owners' meeting breakfast. If he just requested a trade today, I think that would be different. The fact that the Ravens, I'm sure, have known about it for 3+ weeks, I don't think that's changed anything. It doesn't feel like they're any closer to a deal. But it does show, if we didn't already know it, that Lamar's not happy with the situation. And, you know, I know guys request trades and it doesn't happen, right? You look at Elijah Moore requested a trade last year and stayed with the Jets, and Kareem Hunt in Cleveland and David Njoku in Cleveland at one point. But it feels different when it's a franchise quarterback who's a former MVP.
Scott, I think this story, I like watching it because it seems like there's a filter that's not there because he doesn't have an agent, right? And so it feels a little different than any of these other stories. Like, imagine if he ends up with the Jets. Like, I think that'd be hysterical.
But oh my gosh, could you imagine?
That would be amazing. But I just, doesn't it feel like it's different because there's no agent pumping out information one way or another?
Oh yeah, for sure. And that wouldn't necessarily mean that the player wouldn't be tweeting or talking, because, you know, that happens regardless of if you have an agent. But there's certainly a filter. There's the agent working back channels, and that's not there with Lamar. So, yeah, it feels a lot more direct in this situation, for sure.
The Browns have made a lot of moves, Scott. I think most of the moves they've made in free agency have been, okay, we needed one of these, so we got one of these. What moves don't fall into that category for you? I think Tomlinson's an upgrade. I like Elijah Moore. I'm not so certain that many of the others fall in any other category.
Yeah, I think they all felt like need moves to me. The one that doesn't as much is Jordan Akins, the tight end. I thought they would try to upgrade over Harrison Bryant just because his numbers kind of stagnated last year. You know, there wasn't a jump from year two to year three. I didn't think he had much of an impact. So I thought they would go after number two tight end. But it wasn't a huge need. Like, you could have run it back with Harrison Bryant as your number two, and I don't think it would have been a huge deal. So, you know, that feels a little bit like a bonus move, you know. Marquise Goodwin is interesting. We talked a million times how they needed a speed guy. But when you sign, you know, when you trade for Elijah Moore, you know, that covers a little bit of it. I know they're different. The Browns are going to use him in different ways, and Moore's more of a slot guy. Goodwin gives you the deep threat. I don't know if, you know, you need that deep guy, right, when you have Amari Cooper and you have Donovan Peoples-Jones. So, you know, I think that would be another one where I'd say, okay, that I like it, and I think it makes sense, but I'm not sure, you know, if you're doing this long list of Browns needs, you know, you need a run stopper, you need another D-end, right, you needed a safety to replace John Johnson III, like a pure deep threat, was probably somewhere a little bit further down the line.
I thought the Goodwin signing was interesting from this standpoint, along with the fact that he can help you a little bit. It was, to me, hey, here's what Anthony Schwartz was supposed to be.
Yeah.
What's that do for Anthony Schwartz?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think Moore was a little bit of a combination of that. But those two guys together, I think they'll give Anthony Schwartz a chance to make this team, right? You can never have enough fast guys. We know how they like to keep the draft picks and give them a chance to prove themselves, and he was a third rounder. Having said that, I mean, I think the odds of Schwartz making this team just keep getting lower. The more guys they add and the longer it goes on, because those two guys combined in especially Goodwin, it's exactly what they wanted Schwartz to be. And he just wasn't able to do it. And you saw that the Browns offense struggled because they didn't have that element.
Where are we with Andrew Berry right now? And, you know, he's been able to deliver, I think, the things that this team needs. I just don't know. Like, I'm not over the top excited because I want to see this team out on the field. Like, in the past, I'd be like, oh, look what they did here. This is great. Oh, man, on paper, this team looks like they got a chance to do. And, like, I'm very reserved on where we are right now. I think he's made solid moves, but I also want to see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Andy. I mean, I would say his plan makes sense, right? And we talked about him addressing the priorities, right? Like, they needed a D-tackle. They went and got one of the top D-tackles. They needed a starting DN opposite Myles Garrett. They went and got a starting defensive end. You know, they needed a safety. I mean, you can look at that whole list, and, you know, you guys asked at the beginning, like, what they did need, but they kind of needed all of these. So I understand his plan. I think he has had his priorities correct. Now, that doesn't mean all these signings are quality. It doesn't mean these were the right guys, right? So Tomlinson needs to have a huge impact on the run defense. Oboe needs to be a threat rushing the passer opposite Myles Garrett and be a whatever that number is, 6'8", 10 sack guy. And he needs to hold up against the run in a full-time role, which he's only held in his career for the last 8 games of last season. Right? Thornhill, yeah, he's cheaper than John Johnson III, but is he better than John Johnson III? You know, he needs to be, because that's why the Browns made that move. So it's like, you know, it's like any of these moves, the draft picks or free agents, they make sense because Andrew Berry's so smart, so he's not going to make a wild decision. But then you have to hit, right? And he didn't hit on Austin Hooper. He didn't hit on John Johnson III, right? There's draft picks that you can question. So then it's all about execution. Are these the right guys to improve in the areas that needed to be improved?
Andrew Berry made some comments out in Arizona that, okay, we might not be done with some things, especially even mentioned wide receiver, Scott. Can you see anything else happening at wide receiver? I mean, do you think it's high on the draft priority list, or is there a veteran out there who still might be looking for a gig who might have the Browns might have some interest in?
I think it's more about the draft, Jeff. I get that you're always trying to improve the roster at every spot, and that's what Andrew Berry will tell you over and over. But it feels like they have the necessary pieces, right, with Cooper and DPJ and Moore and Goodwin and then you have Bell and Woods coming back from last year. It feels there's enough guys. It feels like it's well-rounded. It's a well-rounded unit. But when you go to the draft, if you can find a guy that is the burner, I mean, Goodwin's 30-something, right? So maybe you find that guy that can come in, doesn't play a ton as a rookie, but develops into that burner role, right? I think when he leaves that door open, it's mostly about the draft when it comes to receiver, because the draft has a lot of receivers, maybe not as many as the past couple of years when it was the most ever, but there's some quality receivers, and I would not be surprised at all if he took a receiver relatively high.
Are you good with the offense? I look at it now, and I'm happy that they were able to bring back the offensive line intact. But are you good with what they have moving forward, and does it feel that much better than it did, you know, 3 weeks ago?
I think they're where they need to be. I would say the swing tackle coming off the bench is probably priority number one, and wouldn't be surprised if they added a veteran there at some point. I think they'll add another running back to the mix. You know, you have Nick Chubb, you have Jerome Ford. Are you ready to give Jerome Ford all those snaps as a third down running back where you need to protect your quarterback and pick up the blitz? Has he shown that enough? So I think that's a spot where they'll at least add competition there to Jerome Ford, especially with Dearness Johnson leaving for Jacksonville. But those are really the only two spots that jump out at me. And, yeah, I think they're in a better spot than they were 3 weeks ago, and that's all about adding those weapons to Deshaun Watson. And we've talked about this. Like, he needs to elevate guys around him, right? That's part of the job when you're a $46 million quarterback. But I think Andrew Berry and the Browns did a good job adding those complementary pieces in Moore, in Goodwin, in Akins, because I do think that's important when you're trying to take this offense to the next level and compete with the Kansas City's and Cincinnati's and Buffalo's of the world.
NFL owners are going to be deciding some things out there, messing with the rules a little bit, and they seem like they mess with the rules constantly, which keeps Gene Steratore in business. You like the idea of something other than the onside kick, Scott?
I go back and forth on that, Jeff. I really do. And I've kind of settled. Now, you could convince me the other way, but I've kind of settled on no. I like the onside kick. I think if you add the 4th-and-20 play, I get that it would increase drama. Part of me likes the fact that, okay, it could come down to one play, and we know the odds of the onside kick are so small. But if you built that lead, right, where you're up 14 with the minute left, I'm not sure it should come down to one pass play where you could get a fluky penalty, you get a tip ball. And maybe it's just because I've watched football the other way for my whole life, but it feels a little unnatural to me.
I agree with you.
4th-and-25.
I think it's a weird deal.
4th-and-40.
What, and I haven't seen. if that doesn't work, does the defending team take over at that spot?
Yeah, they would.
Well, so in other words, almost an automatic field goal, right?
Right. I mean, I get it, and it makes sense, and I think there's some things about it I like. I feel like if you played 58 minutes or 59 minutes, whatever it is, and you've gotten to that point and you're winning the game, it should be harder for the other team to come back.
Well said.
4th-and-60.
Yep, well said. Scott, thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks, fellas.
He's Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, covers the Browns, brownszone.com, where you can see all of Scott's work. And it joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.